In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Mark, the first chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the first Sunday in Epiphany had us look at the baptism of Jesus. Today, the first Sunday in Lent, we look at the temptation of Jesus. But why? Because a servant is not above his master. And so your life, indeed, the life of all Christians, is in many ways comparable to the life of Christ. Our lives follow the pattern of Christ's life. You know this. You sing this. Come, Christians, follow where our captain trod, our King victorious, Christ the Son of God. And where our captain first trod in St. Mark's Gospel is the Jordan River. At the Jordan, Jesus entered the waters and was baptized. Then the heavens were torn open, and the Spirit descended like a dove, and the Father's voice resounds, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Years ago, you too entered the waters of baptism, and the heavens were torn open for you when the word of God was spoken over you. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And the Spirit descended upon you, and you were first called a son of God. That is why St. Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ." But then what happened? Well, if you have been paying close attention to St. Mark's Gospel, then you know what. Then comes the wilderness. Then comes Lent. You see, St. Mark closely connects Jesus' baptism with his temptation. He writes that after his baptism, the Spirit immediately hurled Jesus into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Did you catch that? Immediately after his baptism, the Spirit hurls or drives Jesus into the wilderness. The words read like pushing a boxer into a ring for a fight and saying, "Go get him, champ." If Jesus' baptism was the announcement that the Messiah had come to fulfill the covenant of God made to save sinners, then Jesus being hurled into the desert was a declaration of war against Satan and the forces of evil. Yes, God had come in the flesh to take on and to defeat the devil. And once a declaration of war is issued, war is inevitable. The old satanic foe, the evil enemy, will be attacked. But God's battle plan for war? Man, it seems strange, doesn't it? He doesn't enter the wilderness and start swinging. He doesn't knock out, defeat, or destroy the devil on the spot. In fact, today, St. Mark won't even let us see Jesus throw a verbal punch like Matthew and Luke do. There's no "it is written" or "begone, Satan." No. Mark simply says that Jesus is out in the wilderness being tempted for 40 days. And in St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus is oppressed and afflicted, but he opens not his mouth. He is like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, or like a sheep that is before its shears, but is silent. As strange as it may seem, this is God's plan to save sinners, to save you, to save me. Jesus must suffer temptation with and for us. Because you and I, we are weak and powerless, sinful and ungodly. We are the ones who quickly and willingly give in to the temptations of the flesh, lust, sexual fantasies, pornography, affairs, greed, gossip, slander, covetousness, deceit, injustice, hatred, idolatry, drunkenness, apathy, laziness, procrastination, jealousy, fits of anger, anxiety, and worry. We are the ones who, like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, are told to sit and watch and pray. But in less than 1 hour's time, are lulled asleep by the temptations and cares of this world. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. God sees this. He knows how sinful, unclean, and unfaithful we are. He knows that if left to ourselves, we would be lost forever, lost to sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has not left us alone, because God does not desire the death of a sinner, but that all might turn to Him and live. So in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem you and I who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And this Son, this Jesus, He was tempted in every way just as we are. Yet He did not sin. Where you and I are faithless, Jesus remains faithful. He remains faithful unto death, even death upon the cross, so that you and I might be free, so that God might look upon you not in judgment or wrath or as an enemy, but in forgiveness and mercy and love, as a son. The Son has set you free. Therefore, you are free indeed. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you are now a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. You have washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And this is not your doing. It is a gift of God for each and every one of you. And just as the beloved Son of the Father was baptized and then hurled into the wilderness where He was tempted by Satan, so you are too, as God's adopted sons. But you are no longer weak and powerless. You are no longer sinful and ungodly. You are no longer of the world or the devil or your own sinful flesh. You are of Christ. You are marked with His cross on your forehead and on your heart. You are clothed with His blood and righteousness. And so you are pure and you are holy because Jesus has made you that way. And as the gates of hell cannot prevail against Christ, neither now can they prevail against you who belong to Him. You stand in the strength, might, power, and victory of your brother Jesus. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And though the devil tempts us to set our minds on the things of men and not the things of God, we will say, "Get behind me, Satan." And though the devil tempts us to sin and doubt God's love and mercy, we will say, "I admit I deserve death and hell, but what of it? For I know one who has suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And where he is, there I shall be also." And though the devil tempts us to despair that our lives will end in the darkness of death and the dust and the ashes of decay, we will sing, "Death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ. When I die, I leave all sadness to inherit paradise." We will say and we will sing because we know that after the wilderness comes the promised land. After Lent comes Easter. After death comes life. "I am the resurrection and the life," says the Lord. "He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." So fight the good fight of faith, dear Christian.
Fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your right. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally.
And while you fight, remember this. It is not you who fight, but Christ who is in you, to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And since it is Christ who fights for you, then you can be confident that the devil does not win. Because Jesus will not shrink back and he will not give in. Rather,
he holds the field forever.
In Jesus' name, amen.